This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1423. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded August 27th. Two well-known shortwave writers pass on. Changes at WBCQ. Spurs from Los Angeles, Greenville, and Sao Paulo. Voice of America canceling Hindi. Monitoring Madagascar and other Africans. Best BBC channels. New frequency from Laos. And the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Before I forget, a reminder that the Islamic holy month of Ramadan runs from approximately August 31st until September 30th. Yes, it gets earlier and earlier every year compared to the Western calendar. There was a reminder in National Radio Club's International DX Digest that during Ramadan, expect radio stations in Iran, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and other Muslim nations to be on the air for extended hours. And I should add a number in North Africa. They may run all night if they do not normally. And there may be other changes in scheduling affecting some shortwave stations as well as medium wave. Well, if Ramadan is the holy month, does that mean all the other Islamic months are unholy? This sad news from Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo, Japan, August 21st. Mr. Koji Yamada, Japanese famous shortwave writer, died of liver cancer on August 19th. He was 67. He had just returned from a trip to KBS World Radio in Korea in July. In Japan, he was called BCL no Kamisama, which means Ace BCL. He wrote a great many books on shortwave listening in Japan and was a mastermind of the BCL boom there in 1970s and 80s, which produced more than 3 million young shortwave listeners known in Japan as BCLs. He had many friends in shortwave radio stations around the world, especially in South Korea and Taiwan. This year in March, he wrote a new book, Resuming BCL, for older people who were BCLs in their younger days, and the books sold out. He was born in Asakusa, downtown Tokyo, and lived for a long time in Nippori near Asakusa, and finally moved to the Boso Peninsula in Chiba Prefecture, where it was noise-free and a great DX site. He was enjoying DX listening with full-sized beverage antenna. Again, Koji Yamada has died at the age of 67. And on August 22nd, Tom Nitel died, K-N-E-I-T-E-L. If you're relatively recent in shortwave listening or the radio hobby, you may not know his name, but he was a very well-known editor in past years. There have been lots of comments about him, people who had personal contact with him in various DX publications. There was this notice, which came from the current editor of Popular Communications, Edith. Dan Trebnick and others sent it along to us. Sad news, Tommy Nitel passed away on Friday. He had been gravely ill for well over a year and in hospice. It had looked like his death was imminent from about July of last year. He's been in a coma, but there was something extraordinarily strong in his constitution. I know many of you have worked with him, certainly read him, maybe since the beginning of the magazine. Popcom obviously would not exist had it not been for him. Each editor since was really just carrying on something that he created. He was living in Florida, and the obituary appeared in the Orlando Sentinel of August 24th. I expect you can find it by searching on his name, but that and much more about him will be in DX Listening Digest. Here's one comment about him from Harry Helms in the ABDX group. Tom Nitel never forgot that DXing is nothing more than an enjoyable but silly hobby and refused to elevate it to the status of great undertaking. That was a stance guaranteed to enrage some DXers back in the oh-so-serious 1960s and 70s. Tom was highly opinionated, not especially concerned about being loved, and not the easiest editor I've ever worked with. We often butted heads. During a decade, I wrote columns for Popcom, but he was never dull, and when I received a phone call or letter from him, there was always a rush of anticipation bordering on apprehension. Oh, my God, what does Tommy want now? Tommy had a sarcastic, irreverent writing style, especially for his Uncle Tom's Corner in the old Electronics Illustrated magazine. Now some news about developments at WBCQ The Planet. Will Martin in Missouri says, for 2 weeks in a row, Off the Hook has not been aired, perhaps because of the enormous electric bill. He was not hearing Alan Weiner worldwide either on Friday night, although someone else said they were hearing it, although the signal was weaker than usual, namely Sergei Sosedkin in Illinois. In his broadcast, Alan confirmed that WBCQ is turning 7415 off every Tuesday and Wednesday from 21 to midnight UT as a cost-saving measure, and he confirmed that Off the Hook is gone from the schedule. He said they couldn't pay for airtime anymore, and many programmers are struggling due to the economic crisis. The electric bill at BCQ keeps growing, and Alan is worried about the coming winter. Cost-saving measures are needed to keep it financially okay. However, there is some good news at BCQ. As we mentioned before, Area 51 has returned to the schedule, starting out on Sunday evenings only. But now, thanks to Larry Will sharing the costs with Alan Weiner, it's resumed a 7-day schedule. 2 hours starting at 2300 UT on 5110. Alan and Larry say this will again include a broadcast of World of Radio, but the time had not been chosen. However, during the previous run of Area 51, we were on the Friday evening broadcast, so if there's no further info, check during those 2 hours on Fridays on 5110 between 23 and 01 UT Saturdays. This is fortunate for us since another of our longtime broadcasts on WBCQ has been canceled. I guess another time the transmitter needs to be turned off. UT Mondays at 0415, no longer to be heard on 7415. Our first broadcasts, however, I suppose are still continuing on BCQ. Wednesdays at 21 on 15420 and Thursdays at 2330 on 7415. Ted Randall has been trying to find the best way to reach U.S. and international audiences from American shortwave stations. His QSO show is now temporarily, at least, on WRMI Sundays at 18 to 20 UT on 9955. That's on the antenna aimed toward Caribbean and South America, but try for it too in North America. Richard Lewis in Mississippi passes on a posting from the radioinfo.com forum from Larry Tom, THOM, chief engineer at WRNO. He says, we're officially back on the air. To clear up some questions, the new license frequencies are 7355, 7505, and 15590. For the time being, 7505 is the only one being used between 01 and 04 UT, or 8 to 11 p.m. Central Time. We've received very good reports from the East Coast, Canada, and Europe as to complaints from the neighborhood about radio frequency interference. So far, there have been none. It's running a full 50 kilowatts as licensed. Modulation is clean. The transmitter runs cool with current readings at the low end of their maximum ratings. The daytime frequency, 15590, has not been on the air long enough to determine how it will get along with the neighborhood. It's only been testing, but so far results are good. As time goes on, airtime will be increased, as will the daytime frequency of 15590 from WRNO. My logbook would not be complete without at least one entry per month of those awful spurs from KVOH in Simi Valley, California, which is really on a mountain. Well, they made it for August. I'd previously heard them on July 2nd, but much stronger on August 15th at 1953 UT, very distorted FME music, on about 17922, matching the modulation on the relatively clear fundamental 17775. The spur was only a bit weaker than the fundamental. I could see the S-meter fluctuating slightly with modulation variations on 17922, and I looked for the match on the low side, and there it was around 17628 with the same distortion, but as usual, that one significantly weaker than the other one, the offset being plus and minus 148 kilohertz from 17775. KVOH, plus Spurs. Steve Lehrer in Michigan has been noting splattering, a severe case of it, from the 11930 transmitter in Greenville, North Carolina, carrying Radio Marti. August 24th at 2000 UT, it was splattering from about 11845 to 12010. And 5 minutes later, the transmitter began going on and off, or reducing power, with only noise on the fundamental. Greenville has a problem. As we've mentioned before, the Voice of America Russian service was canceled a week or two before the invasion of Georgia, in a case of wonderful timing. Here's what Alexander Yegorov said about it on Radio Ukraine International's DX program, The Whole World on the Radio Dial. The VOA Russian service on shortwave ceased on July 26th. It's a pity that simultaneously with the cancellation of three half-hour programs in the Russian language, half-hour special English programs on the same frequencies also disappeared. Instead, the Russian service of Radio Liberty uses from August 1st the VOA time and part of its frequencies. But instead, Radio Liberty canceled other broadcasts of its Russian service, 07 to 08 and 10 to 12 UT. Dragan Lekic in Serbia says he checked the VOA schedule for the Georgian service on August 23rd and found that it had been expanded further. They've added another hour, in fact, at 17 to 18 UT on 7420 and 11955. Transmitter sites as yet unknown. Alokesh Gupta in New Delhi forwards an item from the Saja Forum blog, S-A-J-A. The VOA Hindi radio service is on the chopping block. A message had been circulated to those who work there that the radio service will cease on September 30th. It started back in July of 1955. About six staffers will lose their jobs. The website and a once-a-week seven-minute segment on Aaj Tak, a TV channel in India, will continue. A senior VOA official who would not talk on the record told me that how the web and TV presence will evolve will be decided after the radio service stops running. Well, they're not taking this lying down, but giving a long list of people in Congress one might write to try to keep the VOA Hindi service going on shortwave, namely members of the Appropriation Committee. And there's also an India caucus in the House made up of Jim McDermott, Joe Wilson, and Jay Crowley. They point out in the blog that Hindi is the flagship and national language of India. There are several million Muslims in India, more than the population of Pakistan, who keenly listen and ask questions about the U.S. strategic partnership with India and its efforts in the Middle East. All Hindi VOA radio listeners depend on VOA Hindi programming and news to keep fully informed. One of the main reasons that in a recent survey, 73% of the people gave the U.S. a most favored nation status. Probably find more in the thread about this at www.sajaforum.org. Back in April, we reported that a new 50-kilowatt medium wave station was testing from Dilworth, Minnesota. That's a suburb of Fargo, North Dakota. WZFN on 1100 kilohertz. Well, 50 kilowatts in the daytime, but much less at night, and 5 kilowatts during critical hours. They had not been reported since then, but were heard again on the air in early August, and by then they had changed the call sign slightly to WZFG. Looking at FCC records, I see that change occurred on May 22nd. Sean Axelrod in Manitoba was hearing it in the daytime at 1300 UT on August 8th for the first time, and they were announcing with a loop that they would begin regular broadcasting on August 10th. And the format is talk. I haven't seen very many reports of it from further away, but it should be quite possible, especially around sunrise and sunset when they're running full power. WZFG on 1100 kilohertz. You're tuned for the 1423rd edition of World of Radio. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684 ENIDOK. 73702 USA, where your comments and contributions are always welcome. If you'd like more info about any of the items I mention, or if you miss anything, you can find much more in the archive of DX Listening Digest at worldofradio.org. A Venezuelan DX blog says the voice of Venezuela is in ruins. This is referring to the project to install a 1,000-kilowatt transmitter on the Paraguaná Peninsula on 1240 kilohertz a number of years ago. Someone has gone there and taken photographs of what's left of the buildings and the facility. There's lots more news about Venezuela at dxismovenezolano.blogspot.com. In case you're not into Spanish too much, I'll spell the first part, dixismovenezolano. That's the Club Dixistas de la Amistad, editor Ingeniero Santiago Sanhil. From São Paulo, Brazil, Lucio Otavio Bobrovich reports that Bolivia's Radio Virgen de Remedios in Tupiza has returned one of its previous frequencies, 4111. This was logged August 22nd at 2220 UT, seeming to be relaying a news program, Bolivia en Contacto, from Oruro, at least news about Oruro and the proposals for autonomy there, followed at 23 UT by choral religious music and a ceremony for Mary. Weak but readable and still heard at midnight 19 UT with a program about the Chichas with their music, history, and culture. In the DX Club of Paraná, Jorge Freitas in Bahia says he's heard yet another new frequency for Radio Cultura São Paulo, which is supposed to be on 9615, but the transmitter's in bad shape and jumps all over the place. On August 23rd, he was hearing it on 9410. Strong signal, but distortion on the audio. I don't see a time mentioned in this report, but it's usually reported from Brazil in the local daytime. 9410, of course, is going to collide with BBC and other stations if it stays there, but it probably won't. Last time, we reported that Radio Africa, Equatorial Guinea, carrying U.S. religious programs, had reactivated 15190. And we have some more reports of that, although probably not on the air every day, and you never know when they'll disappear again for months. On August 19th at 11:15 UT, Scott Barber in New Hampshire was hearing something in English on the frequency, very weak and not positively ID'd. On August 22nd, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania was hearing 15190. At 19:30 UT with Let the Bible Speak. Only threshold copy when rechecked at 20:45, but somewhat better the next day, August 23rd, from 17:30 past 19:35 with U.S. religious programming in English. He did hear Radio Africa IDs at 18:32 with email address in Ghana and Nigeria, as well as postal addresses. Here's a report of the very rare DR Congo station, Radio Kahuzi, in Bukavu. Moritz Fendrisha in Belgium reports on the BDX mailing list, hearing it on 6210. August 25th at 17:57 UT with typical African drum music and vernacular talks. However, from 17:59, there was splatter from Iran on 6205. We reported last time that Ron Howard in California had heard Madagascar on 5010 by Long Path in the local morning. I believe it was around 13:35 UT. Torsten Hallmann in Germany, who maintains Africa List, asked him to check out the other scheduled frequencies for Madagascar National Radio. So, Ron Howard went looking for those as well as the one already heard, and here's part of his report. 5010 was heard August 19th at 1335 to 1507. Weak signal and with India interference at first. Question was whether the 49-meter frequency was also on the air, and he confirmed, yes, it was parallel, 6134.93, August 19th, but it was under WYFR in Russian, Chinese, and English until 1500, in the clear after 1500, but weak by that time. The next day, it was coming in better at 1400. Other Madagascar frequencies listed, 7105. Impossible to tell if anything was there under Firedrake and other stations. Something weak under VOA on 7155, but definitely not parallel to 5010. And what about 9690? All he was hearing was All India Radio. And Madagascar had previously been reported off that frequency, 9688.7 variable. So the good news is that 6134.93 is on the air in parallel to 5010. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania reports Voice of Peace and Democracy via Radio Ethiopia transmitters on 9558.86 variable, drifting to 9558.07. This is August 22nd from 0403 past 0410, with talk enlisted Tigrinya, Horn of Africa music, parallel to 7165.12, both frequencies fair. According to the World Radio TV Handbook, this apparently clandestine service is on the air Monday, Wednesday, and Friday only for half an hour at 0400. A few weeks ago, I gave my recommended best BBC frequencies for North American listeners, where we have to pick up transmissions beamed elsewhere. With apologies to Will Martin, who said I went too fast. It was too hard to copy, as I suppose applies to a lot of other things I say on this program. We have a follow-up to that from Kent D. Murphy in West Virginia. From his location, he adds these ones that he's heard in the past few months. At midnight UT, 7105. At 01, 7320. At 06, 11765. From 08 to 11, 15400 and 17830. At 11, 15400. And I suppose that's only for 1 hour. And from 15 until 21, 12095. Of course, as I mentioned a bit ago, if you want to read all this rather than just hear it, you'll find it in DX Listening Digest via worldofradio.org. Apparently, the BBC World Service managed to continue most of its streaming despite the Olympics. However, once in a while, some other programs are blacked out. They say not streamed due to rights restrictions. However, Sandy Finlayson reports in SW Programs that there are many stations around the world relaying BBC World Service programming, and they do their own streaming, and you just might hear some of these shows that the BBC itself will not stream directly. One of those is Campus FM in Malta. You can check out their schedule and their streaming, www.campusfm.um.edu.mt. Or you'll find a direct link to the station at publicradiofan.com once you go to Malta. Here are some hints about BBC policy regarding DRM and other digital broadcasting from the Open to Discussion column in the August issue of Communication of the British DX Club. Colin Watson in Cumbernauld has been in correspondence with the World Service and received a two-page reply, but this précis is more than adequate. Who wrote it exactly is not stated. The carbon footprint of the BBC's DRM broadcast is quite low, but would be eliminated were we to stop transmitting. The DRM broadcasts are not 100% reliable, but they are about as reliable as the equivalent AM broadcasts and would be significantly more reliable than AM if we were to move up to a full two- or three-frequency schedule as we would prefer. The key point with regard to DRM is the issue of receivers. If we want DRM to succeed, we should not stop. Whether we need DRM is a question. As the BBC is a major funder of DAB and digital TV and makes much content available via them in order to make the platforms more attractive, the lack of access to these platforms is disappointing. And if you have any suggestions to improve this, I'm sure they would be very welcome at Ofcom. That's the regulator in the UK. Globally, the biggest proportion of our audience is still on AM shortwave, and we are spending money to maintain our shortwave transmission facilities. That's probably alluding primarily to Ascension, which has been undergoing refurbishment. Dragan Lekic quotes this from the website of International Radio Serbia. We have just finished designing our new QSL cards, and the first ones have been sent to the addresses our listeners mentioned in their letters. With WBCQ absent from 9329 variable, we again have a chance to hear Syria on 9330. However, I checked at 2120 UT August 14th and could only detect a very weak carrier, but those further east should have better luck with it if not with the modulation from Damascus. In BCDX, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria was hearing it earlier in the day at 1801 UT in German, but with bad low audio, apparently a problem in the studios. A reminder that Chris Janssen in Belgium has set up a Yahoo group for those who listen to or would like to listen to Radio Damascus. You'll get a lot of info about the station and tips about hearing it. You can do it, at least in Europe, via satellite with no problem. You can reach it via www.radio-damascus-listeners-club.tk. By the way, there are 2 hours of English starting at 20:05 UT approximately. But he says the first one is currently not on shortwave, only on satellite. The second hour is on satellite and shortwave, approximately 21:10 UT, on 9330 and irregularly 12085. He's really a fan of Radio Damascus. He's visited the station and plans to do so again, and is trying to get them to start webcasting. Chris Janssen says the folks at Radio Damascus are seriously thinking about putting Radio Damascus on the Internet. And please support the station by sending them reception reports and letters. Many thanks to a Japanese contributor near Tokyo who goes by the name of Peace J, that's P-E-A-C-E hyphen J, on August 19th, who told us, I can receive Lao National Radio since the beginning of August on 4412.6, and he attached a recording at his website. We listened to it, and I say it certainly sounds like Laos. Apparently this was recorded at 11:59 UT when they play bells on the hour. That's 7 p.m. local time, but they were overlapping so much I could not really count them. Well, besides Vientiane, the capital, there's lately been only one regional station active on shortwave, Samneua, S-A-M-N-E-U-A, which had been on 4678 variable, so we figure that's probably the one which has appeared on 4412.62. Ron Howard in California promptly checked that out and heard them. He says it probably is Samneua in Huafan province. It was not parallel to 6130 Vientiane before the top of the hour at 1200, probably with their own regional programming. But it did join 6130 with the gongs ringing 7 times at 11:59. The next day, Ron found the frequency had varied slightly, which is consistent for that station, 4412.60. Heard August 21st at 12:05, poor reception, and still parallel to 6130. In Coombe DX, John Wilkins in Colorado was hearing the clandestine from Japan to North Korea, Furusato no Kaze, believed to be transmitted via Taiwan, on 9779.96 for the half-hour Japanese broadcast at 1600 UT, August 14th. Good signal, and they gave their email address at 1626. The propagation outlook from the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, August 26th. A and K and Aziz peaking at 18 and 4 September 5th, 20 and 5 on September 14th. Otherwise, mostly 5 and 2. And solar flux still stuck at a very low 66, at least through September 22nd. And that's World of Radio number 1423. Glenn Hauser, hoping you've enjoyed the program and will hear me again next week.